Pass the salt. It's
time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I guess we played that intro about four different times in case you don't get a chance to hear them very often. there it is. I'm a little bit distracted today. In fact, I would tell you the truth, I'm kind of tired. Kind of tired this morning. Michelle and I got in last night about, it's about 10:15 or so. And it was amazing. We had an amazing trip coming home, fighting the snow up through wherever. And, you know, have you guys ever done this on a trip? We drove about 10 hours yesterday and made one stop. Is that something? 10 hours and made one stop for about 10 minutes. And Michelle drove the first, I don't know, 5 hours or so of it. And I drove the last part of it, and we did it on. We filled up our gas tank, and we got down to down about maybe Indianapolis, or I don't remember where it was, and filled up the gas tank again, and we were home. Nobody had to pee. Nobody. It was unbelievable. But I got home a little bit drained here this morning, getting up, trying to get my mind up and working and running and trying to. Man, I thought yesterday's show was really something. I really want to revisit some of that as well with you this morning. Talk about some of the things we brought up yesterday. But I want to dive into some things. Hey, I may not be at the top of my game today, okay? Help me out here, because I'm a little bit slept like a rock. But, man, went fast. I want to thank Denny Bryan. And if you guys can out there, somebody say, Denny who? I know. This is kind of the, you know, I've been doing this a while, folks. I've been doing this a while. We made a lot of relationships all across a fruited plain, as they would say. And I went to Oskaloosa, Iowa for the first time about 2 years ago. That's where I met Randy. In fact, Randy came up for that event up there. And Denny Bryan, and Denny's on oxygen. He's just what a great guy, man. And really, really, really fighting some serious, serious health issues. You know what's amazing? I should get Denny. Denny's probably in bed. Denny told me that he's doing more ministry from his kitchen table than at any time in his life. The people come to him, and he's forming relationships. People come, they come back to be coached a little bit, mentored a little bit, and that, you know, he's getting bad news from the doctors. Not good news. He's getting bad news from the doctors, and you know, they told him 2 years ago he had. Had 6 months to live, and now they're telling him the same thing again. And then he just continues to fight his way through it, and he's trying to keep that Iowa huddle up and running and doing a wonderful job. He and his wife Marcy, and it was a really great time of relaxation for us. But great event. We had about 35 people there, and then I spoke to some homeschoolers yesterday, and then Michelle and I put the pedal to the metal and headed home, and it was kind of fluffy and flurry on the way home. So if you just get a little bit bored out there, just continue to pray for Denny, because he's fighting for his life, literally fighting for his life. He's got a good attitude. He said, you know, I earned it. Smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And you know how it is, right? You think you're invincible when you're young, and then all of a sudden the piper comes around, you got a pain. So we just love and appreciate him. We're going to Kentucky this weekend. Michelle and I are going to join with our good friends down in having a Kentucky huddle. And maybe you can pull that up for me there real quick. Hey, I gotta say something. Spencer's getting good at this, man. Hey, Spencer, you're gonna earn a varsity letter here at some point, man. You're pretty quick on the switch. We got several things going on. We got several things going on this week. One of them is the huddle down in Kentucky. We'd love for you to come and be part of that. And I want to talk about some of that as we get going here today. And then there's a huddle also at the same time. Chad's having a huddle at his place, the Salt and Light Brigade event going on. And Randy's sticking his toe in the water and organizing his first gathering of people This all that being done this same weekend. And, you know, listen, friends, I think what we have going on in these huddles is worth driving to be part of it. There'll be some people that will drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I know sometimes out of Chad's, some of those guys, they come. How far does Al come, Chad? Chad's probably still in bed.
About 7 hours.
Al drives 7 hours to come and be part of it because, folks, it's a real, real true fellowship that you really can't get anyplace else. And people are hesitant to do the huddles because they say, well, I can't do it like Chad. I don't have a ranch. Well, Chad doesn't have a ranch, okay? He don't have a ranch. He just calls it the Estes Ranch. He doesn't have a ranch. And Bobby Lee's organizing these huddles. He's in Pennsylvania and he's in Kentucky. And you said, man, well, I'm not Bobby Lee. I can't do what Bobby Lee does. Well, of course you can't. Why would you want to do what Bobby Lee does? Why don't you do what you can do? And so I salute like Tim and Naomi. They stepped out last week and they had a huddle at their house. And they only got 6 people or 8 people, whatever it was. That's 8 more than they had the week before. And you build upon it because, friends, what we are going through, I had a great conversation with Chad yesterday as we were driving home. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit here in a minute. Not yet. Folks, everything we're doing is going to become local. It's going to become more. If you're going to have an impact, it's going to have to be done locally. I believe power is coming back to the states. I don't know what's going to look like. But I know from my experience of having marched with 1 million people, whatever, 3 different times, excuse me, in Washington, D.C., that's not the answer. That's Washington, D.C. isn't the answer, friends. And we're still out here in the hinterlands of Ohio and Iowa and Oklahoma and Texas and you name it, South Carolina and Virginia and Maine and Tennessee and Kentucky. Real people live there. Real people live there. And at some point, some of you are going to have to come out of your comfort zone and say, Coach, I'm going to risk it here. I'm going to try to get an organ. I'm going to try to get a group organized here. You say, well, you know, you would say to yourself, well, I'm not a leader. Well, a leader will emerge. We need an organizer, not a leader. A leader will emerge. We know about the fivefold ministry, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Actually, it's fourfold, but that's a whole other story. The giftings will be in the group. The giftings will be in the group. And if you think that you can't have a huddle because you're not Chad, thank God you're not Chad. Oh, my goodness. Thank God. But what do you have to offer? What can you do? What can you pull together?
Because amen.
There are like-minded people out there who, folks, there are people, they're perishing. Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And perish doesn't mean die. Perish means that they run around frustrated without direction. It's like to perish is like a bridle in a horse's mouth. And that people are perishing because there's nobody giving them direction. You pull on that bridle and the horse turns. And so people are perishing. For lack of knowledge. We need to help them. We need to bring them together. The Bible says when we all get together, one person has a word, another person has a song, and it's an opportunity for you to be able to exercise and use your gifts. So I'm trying to encourage you this morning. I'm not trying to discourage you. Denny Bryan organizes that Iowa huddle. He told me he never goes outside his house. Never goes, ever goes outside his house anymore because of his medical conditions. He sits at that table. But he does ministry right from that table. He organizes huddles right from that table. And the huddles that we try to set up, they're autonomous, meaning you're in charge of them. You don't have to do it like Chad. You don't have to do it like Bobby. You don't have to do it. Just get some folks together, will you? Start somewhere. Get some folks together. Because ultimately, as this thing continues to unwind or whatever happens with it, you're going to need local support. I love Randy Lunsford, but if the crap hits the fan, Randy's 1,000 miles away from me. What am I going to do? Mark Trump. I love Mark Trump. Crap hits the fan, he's 500 miles away from me. What am I going to do? I love Myra. Crap hits the fan. She's 400 miles away from me. But you know what? Myra's near some people that aren't 400 miles away from me. And so if the crap hits the fan, Myra needs somebody she can hang out with and build into their lives and offer her talents and her skills. I don't know how I got on this rant, but it's important. Hang on. It's been really kind of there's no vision that people perish. It's been my vision for I don't know how long. And I'm at the Iowa Huddle this weekend, and I look and there's 35 people. I think there were 35 of us. I knew very few of them. I knew James. I knew a couple, but you know, I said right here in this room with this 35 group of people, man, we could kick some serious butt right here in Des Moines. Just us 35 people. If we were really, really committed, we could really, really make some local change right here. We could do it. But see, for some reason, we don't think that's the role of the church. And I asked the question, well, I don't know whether it was yesterday or last week, whatever it was. I said, what is the role of the church? What does it mean to be a Christian? What are you supposed to do when you become one? It's like a vitamin B1, right? Well, okay, now I'm a Christian. What do Christians do? Do Christians pray? Yeah. What do they pray about? How do they pray? Why do they pray? What does it mean? If you ask the Lord for something, what are you asking him for? What does it mean to renew your mind? What does that mean? What does it mean to walk out your faith? What does it mean to work out your own salvation? We have no concept. I don't think we have any concept of this whole idea of being a Christian and Christianity and being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We got no concept of what that means. We've taken Christianity and we've made Christianity totally and completely about us and our family and my needs and my happiness. Somebody say amen, although you don't have to. And so as a result, we got a world, a nation full of Christians that don't even know what am I supposed to do?
Amen, coach.
And all I try to do here every day is try to encourage you, do something, but also don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Paul, send them out two by two. He didn't send them out. You can't go out alone. I mean, you can. Sometimes you have to. You're not supposed to. We're a body. We're supposed to operate, work together, move, breathe, have our being. And I'm looking, you guys are all looking at me. I'm looking at all of you here on my screen. I said to Michelle coming home last night, we drove 10 hours, actually almost 11 and a half on the way up just because we just farted around, and 10 hours coming home to talk to 35 people and 20 students. And I look, you know, Michelle's driving. I look over, I said, is that worth it? Is that worth it to go all the way up here and do all this? And yes, it is. Yes. But at some point when we leave, when we're done with it, we hope we've planted a seed. We hope we've passed some salt. We hope there's something that those of you who we interacted with are going to pick up the mantle and run with it. We, folks, I've said for over and over and over and over and over, build your downline. Build a downline. When you guys are sitting right where you are today, if everything goes dark tomorrow or this afternoon, if it were to go dark tomorrow, what are you going to do? Who are you going to call? Who's in your network of people? And if you can't answer that, now what? Don't you think it's about time you started pulling some people together? You start small. Maybe I'll have to have Chad or come in and kind of do a little bit of a coaching on how this thing happens and how this thing works and how you make it happen. Because I hope that if things go bad, there's some people heading my way. I hope. And I hope that if things go bad, there's some people heading to the Estes Ranch, even though it ain't a ranch. And I hope there's some people heading to down by OJ down in Kentucky, because OJ don't have anything, but he's all in. He didn't have a big farm for people to come. He can't do arms training. But I know this, if you get to OJ, OJ's going to take care of you. He's going to help pull the thing. You get what I'm saying? Folks, this at some point, this is going to become critically important to us. What if they shut us down here? What if this entire thing that we're doing here every morning, what if it goes away? What if you get up tomorrow and you go log in and you can't get in? Then my email blows up because people say, Coach, how come you're not on? There isn't any email. And we don't know how long it's going to be. Is it going to be a week? Is it going to be a month? What's going to go on? Who are you going to be assembling with then? This is far more critical than what we really, really understand. So, you know, it pumps me up that, you know, Randy, I look over, Randy's having an Oklahoma Salt and Light Brigade. And it's really the first one they've had down there on Valentine's Day. And Randy's in here every day and they're all offering all kinds of wisdom. And Randy maybe doesn't recognize the mantle of leadership that's on him.
Amen.
Finally, at some point says, well, I guess nobody else going to do it. I'll do it. I guess I'll do it. And so Randy says, I'll do it. Tim and Naomi said, oh, I'll do it. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'll do it. I'll do it. And ultimately, see, I'm not looking to build a church or a ministry or a denomination or I want you to get together with like-minded Christians because you're going to need each other. You need me. Don't need Larry, for heaven's sakes. Don't need Larry. Just kidding, Larry. Larry's taking his wife to the VA this morning. But we become comfortable even in this hangout, we become comfortable. We know each morning we can get up and we can come in here and we'll get encouraged and we'll talk over and our day will start off right. But what if we lose this? What if it's gone? I don't think it'll be gone forever, but I think there may be a time when it's gone for a while. What are you going to do? Remember Cool Hand Luke? Love that movie. I love that movie. When Cool Hand Luke ate 50 eggs, you remember? Maybe I could bring that scene up. And after he ate 50 eggs, the guys... If you haven't seen that movie, you got to see it. You got to go online. You can find it. After Luke was finished eating the 50 eggs, and there's a scene where he's laying on the table. He's got his leg. He's got his arms out and his legs crossed in the crucifixion. I mean, it's clearly an image of the crucifixion. You know what? Don't take this wrong, but here's what Luke said to all the prisoners there in that work farm or whatever they called that thing. Luke screamed out, stop feeding off me. What happens if you can't feed off of this? What happens if you get up some morning, stop feeding off me because I'm not here. And as long as I'm here, I'm glad we're feeding off each other. I'm glad. But you can't feed off of me. You got to feed off of each other. You got to work together.
Amen.
And you got to find like-minded people. And as long as it's possible, we'll be here and I'll feed off of you and you'll feed off of me. And we'll start every morning off great. But a day's coming when maybe we're not going to be able to do it. And if that happens, I'm not trying to be overdramatic. Okay. I'm not trying to be overdramatic. This, I don't know anybody doing what we're doing.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vinny.
You know, this is a symbiotic relationship. It's not parasitic. That's the difference. We work together for a common goal.
Okay, Vinny, explain that to people who went to public school, will you?
Oh, yeah, symbiotic. We all work together. It's a symbiosis, right? It's not a parasite. Not one taking from another.
So in other words, we're building this thing together, and we just don't have people coming in and taking a big chunk of it and leaving with it, right? We're building this thing together.
Amen.
And that's what I think the Lord would have us to do. So let us help you build something around you. Whatever that would be. You see, Coach, I don't know what to do. Well, hey, listen, do what Tim and Naomi did. And if you don't know anything else to do, put on a video. Find a video. YouTube is full of videos. Find a video. Play a 10-minute video and talk about it. Folks, this is about relationships. This entire thing is relationship build. Chad, are you there?
Amen.
Hey, Chad.
Yes.
Hey, Chad, because you've been doing this for quite a while. Chad, don't you have some guys just show up? I remember, was it Jennifer? It said that she and Terrence came to the first event, and before they ever got there, they had planned a way of evacuation. If they got in there and this was some kind of cult and weird people, they had an excuse already made so they could get out of there. And Chad, don't you find people come and one of the first things they want to do is they want to feel you out? Can I trust this guy? What's going on here? Talk about that a little bit. Talk about that a little bit, Chad.
Yeah, because you know there's a lot of fake people out there,
shysters,
and they don't know if these are a real deal. If you're gonna get along or whatever, you know, you're gonna see. And like one of the first questions when I sit down and I try to talk, when my wife Michelle, she tries to talk to everybody that comes here and have a conversation with them. But one of the first things I ask them, I said, have you ever heard of the Nephilim? And people would tell me, Chad, I knew I was in the right place when you asked me that question.
Yeah. Hey, then you build from that. Some come and some leave, and some are casually connected. And hey, when the SHTF hits the fan, they're going to know that's a place. Maybe they can come. And then you're not alone. You won't be alone. You walk through it together. Folks, it's just unbelievable. I don't want to wear this out, but I'm telling you, this is so critical. And I was on the phone with Chad yesterday, as I said, when we were coming home, and we were just discussing it and how to build. And I look at, you know, Bobby Lee's building one, two. He's got one going in Kentucky. Kentucky, he's got one in Pennsylvania. Clay's got one going down in the Appalachia area. Chad's got one going. We got Randy's got one up and going now. We got Tim and Naomi down there trying to get people together. I'm forgetting somebody, as always. Iowa's got one going.
Missouri's
got that. Come on.
Mike Blake.
Ohio Brown.
Yeah. Right. Folks, we got to quit. Hey, I took y'all to D.C. We got to quit going to D.C. We have an impact and effect right where you live, right in your neighborhood, man. And we got to build people around you. It's like I said, if I had 30 people right here around me in Central Ohio that I knew I could send an email out and in less than 36 hours organize something to do something, and those 36 people showed up, we'd be winning victories left and right. We would. We don't think that way. We have to start thinking that way. If we're serious about it, if we're serious about hanging on to our country and providing some kind of future for our children and grandchildren, boys and girls, you're going to have to get your feet wet. I'm just sorry. You're just going to have to do it. And so we need to be on a manhunt of trying to find people together. But I got a bunch of you want to jump in here. Let's start at the top. Let's go Chris first, then Clay, and then Pastor Dale. Go ahead, Chris. Clay, you come on in while Chris is trying to figure it out. If folks, if this is your first time, you got to unmute yourself. You go to that little icon and click on the microphone. Come on in.
All right. I was just going to say that people have comfort zones. And if you're wanting to do this or the Lord is leading you to be a leader and try to start something, the Lord is within your comfort zone. But the Lord also operates outside of your comfort zone.
Amen.
And if you just have faith and step out of that boat, the Lord's going to be there, and people need you, and you can just set an example and let others see your faith and your leadership and your love. If you'll just step out of that boat, God will be there.
Amen, baby. He said he'd never leave you and he'd never forsake you. He told you to go. He's not going to come till you go. Right? I'm waiting for the Lord to show up. Well, go. He'll show up. Promised he would. Come on in, Dale.
Amen, brother. This is all fantastic. It's so simple. That's why people miss it. You know, the fact of the matter is we say all politics are local. Don't we agree with that? Go to the school boards. Go to your local city council. The gospel is local. If Jesus was the plan and the shell in which we are to create ourselves like, what did he do? He gathered these men. They were all from Capernaum area. And brother, he poured his life into them. Now, you know Andrew Street. He's one of my missionaries. You know him. He goes to India. He told me, he said, Dale, he goes, this is what I do. He says, when I'm in India, it's not about going on a street corner with a Bible in the air. He goes, I invite them into my home. And this is what I say to even the people in the group. I don't know what to do. I just, have a meal at your house and invite your neighbors over. That's how you start it right there. Because that's where relationships are built. Where are relationships built? Around the kitchen table.
Amen.
That it is absolutely relational.
Amen. It is for sure. Good word there. Chris, did you want to come back in, brother? You're still up there. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I don't want to bypass you. Well, we're waiting on Chris. Let's get Randy, Jack, and then Neil. Go ahead, Randy.
I was going to say, Coach, about what Dale said, pretty much. The churches around the world that are really thriving, that are reproducing, are in areas like Iran and the Middle East, China. Why? And they're not organized, Coach. There's no big upper echelon organization. It's all little bitty fire places where there's some fire. There's fire, and then that fire reproduces. We don't have to have a whole lot of government structure. Just everybody's gift, Mark always says, they just kind of come out of the people. And if you just give a place to get around, like Dale said, a home, a kitchen table, people's gifts come out and everybody gets to plug in and get the life of that gift. And it's self-propelling.
Amen. It's based on trust, Randy. It's based on trust. I have to know I can trust you. And that takes a while for that to deliver. By the way, does anybody know, where does BLM meet? BLM, they got a big church someplace. Antifa, they got a. How come they're able all of a sudden to all show up? I wonder if they know each other. Are they sitting around breaking chicken bones together? I don't know. But they sure have a common purpose, don't they? They seem to have a common purpose. We don't have to work this thing up, man. With a stone's throw around you, there are 20 people who are sick of what's going on and looking for a solution. Trust me. You know that. Come on in, Neil, then Jack, then Jeff. Go ahead. Come on, Neil. Neil's up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I just want to say, Coach, I'm working with Rob Pugh. We are going to have something this summer. I don't want people up in Wisconsin to lose heart. But even my wife in her office yesterday had a client in there, and she come home and she said, "Well, I had someone in my office that's even crazier than you are." And I said, "Well, that's awesome."
Yeah.
That means that there's an interest. And Rob said that there's many people asking if we're going to do what we did last fall. And yes, I don't want people up by us to lose hope. We are organizing and planning, and I'm sure Rob will be in touch with you and a few other people to really make it a wisdom catching time so people can learn and we can build community and we'll all have a place to go.
We have to do that, Neil. See, here's the thing. A lot of people, because the enemy is so blatant out in front, and people are afraid to pop their head up like the old whack-a-mole. People are afraid. It's almost like you have a secret code, isn't it? You run into somebody and you talk to them in the grocery store and you come home and say, "Why, I found one. I found one today. There's another one out there." And that's really what it's like. They're everywhere. But nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to say. And you'll never convince me that this whole virus, coronavirus, social distancing, you'll never convince me that it is all partially designed that we wouldn't assemble together to keep us spread out from each other. Because when we get together in a multitude of many counselors, it's great wisdom. We get together in here every day. There's 97 of us in here today. Some of you never say anything, and you're back here every day because you're gleaning the wisdom from what's going on in here. And they don't want this to go on. But what if you had 20 people within 3 miles of you or 10 miles of you. I see the picture so clearly. Come on in, Jack. I got my real money.
Earlier, you mentioned the idea that. Oh, good. Excellent. You're learning, Coach. You're learning, buddy. Hey, people are so ready to bolt because, and as you said, they're so cautious because they're so used to Christian crooks and patriots for profit. And so we have to be careful not to be that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, just for the tip of the iceberg here, we must be over the target because I have not converted to Mecca. I'm not a Mohammedan. I'm not facing east. So don't accept a friend request from me. I've been cloned again.
That happened to my wife. All of a sudden, she hadn't been on Facebook in like forever. And I got a post from her this morning. So what? Yeah, somebody hacked her in there. So we have to be careful with all that communication, all that stuff.
They've taken over mine and they've put my profile picture and all my Mohammedan contacts.
I bet you got a lot of them. Hey, speaking of Mohammedan contacts, John Diamond and I are going to be on the Hagman Report today. I don't know if you guys know this, not trying to let the cat out of the bag. Hagman Report's taped. It's not taped. It's not live anymore. And so we tape it about noon. And the Lord opened up the door for John and I to be able to go there, talk about what we're doing, talk about an appeal to heaven. John, you were in here earlier. John, you still there? Sometimes he's got to run out and feed his goats or his cattle. But we'll be in there. And we're gonna give him some truth here this morning. Let me see here. So I want to. If you bear with me here just a second, I beat up myself all day yesterday as I drive in 10 hours with the most beautiful, wonderful woman in my, I should have driven to France because it's just so good being with my wife. And I thought, we need to do this. We need to just get in the car and go. We fought a little bit because I tried to backseat drive even though I'm in shotgun. She doesn't like that. But other than that, she's pretty pleasant. Good. But I tell you, I was beating myself up. Because I don't want to be an enemy of pastors. I don't want to be an enemy of pastors. I don't. But how, if you were a pastor and you listened to yesterday's show, how could you not see me as an enemy? But I'm not. I don't want to be. I am if Ohio Brett was a mechanic and I took my car over to him because my car wasn't working right. I want Ohio Brett to tell me what was wrong with my car. Don't soft soap it. Don't tell me, you can keep going on those coats. You can get another 5,000 miles out of those tires when they're bald. Just tell me the truth. Don't lie to me. And I wouldn't say, boy, he's mean. I'd go up to Jeff Klein, Jeff, who does work on cars. I hope if I bring a car up there to Jeff, he tells me the truth about it and says, hey, listen, Coach, here's the problem. We can spend $100 and get you another 10,000 miles out of it, or we can spend $1,000 and get you another 2 years out. Just tell me the truth, will you? Just tell me the truth and let me make my own decision. That's all any of us really, really want. And I'm not in that. I'm not jealous of pastors. My desire is not to sow discord amongst the brethren. I'm an analyst. My whole life has been working with and training and equipping people. We called it coaching. We coached guys to perform at a certain point. We coached them to take their giftings and apply it towards a specific game. That's what I do. And if I happen to be around you or I go out to Chad's and Chad's doing one of his Salt and Light Brigade meetings out there, I just want to sit there and be part of it. I don't want to be telling everybody what to do and coming and getting permission for me to do it. I don't want to do that. But if you ask me, I'll say, well, here's what I think you need to do this. Try this. I don't care. Do what you want. This might help. This might help. And so when I look at what's going on in the church world, I'm not mad at pastors. But dude, you got a freaking flat tire. Come on, man. Your tire's flat. Ka-thump, 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 ka-thump. Your tire's flat. And I'm trying to help you. And it seems like I'm attacking you because you're so daggone frustrated with what you're doing, trying to please everybody. And pastor, you're frustrated because you're trying to do what you can't do. And that is please everybody. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? Listen, buddy, if you think you're going to be successful in life pleasing everybody, not going to. Not going to. And as I showed yesterday, when we went through some of that stuff yesterday, and I went to Isaiah 56:10, that said, Israel's watchmen are blind. They can't even bark. There they are. They're all. Folks, this is the word of the Lord. It's not me. So what's the problem? So, well, the problem is the watchmen are blind, the word says. They're all ignorant. We have pastors telling people to take the vaccination. That's ignorance. They're all dumb dogs. Cannot bark. See, if the churches were barking more at government, those boys might fall in line a little bit. We don't refer, we can't bark. Why? Because we're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Some of them are greedy dogs. Not all of them. There's some pastors who are laboring hard, man. They're doing everything they can just to keep the doors open. I'm not talking about you. Hey, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the greedy ones. You can never have enough. Have you guys seen the latest on John MacArthur? Anybody been following that? The net worth of John MacArthur. See, it all gets exposed in the end, folks. It all gets exposed in the end. I don't begrudge John MacArthur having a whole bunch of money. But the Bible says it's easier for a, what does it say, a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. I didn't say that. The greedy dogs never have enough. Shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain, from his own quarter. And they preach happy messages. Come, ye say, I'll fetch wine. We'll fill ourselves with strong drink. And we'll be raptured out of here tomorrow. Somebody say amen. You don't have to say amen. But how do you,
amen.
How do you analyze your automobile if you won't point out why it's not working? American Christianity ain't working, boys.
Well, Dave.
It didn't work. Yeah, Chad.
What if the mechanic is afraid to tell the car owner what's wrong with it?
Well, that's
true. Do you ever get it fixed? And plus, look, it's not all the pastors. We're not saying to all the pastors. You never have said it's all the pastors or whatever. But the ones that we are talking to, you've done it to yourself. You've done it to yourself for your own selfish reasons, perhaps. So this is what, you know, don't make any apologies. We just need to separate what we're talking about there. That's what I think.
Amen. Okay, Chad. So, Chad, when I drive by a church and it says First Church of the Chosen Frozen, they got the name of it right there in front. Down at the bottom, they tell you who the CEO is. Don't they? First Church of the Chosen Frozen, Pastor Billy Bebob. Well, why do they put Billy Bebob's name on the front of the church if Billy Bebob isn't responsible for what's going on inside of it? Amen?
Amen. And
then you talk to Billy Bebob and he'll say, well, it's the elder board. Well, hey, Billy Bebob, get some different elders in. Billy Bebob, or get your name off the thing. Because with responsibility comes accountability. Dude, your team ain't playing very good, bud. And don't be comparing yourself to the team down the road, because that ain't even what it's about. Ain't none of you in there swimming with the sharks. None of you are. Come on in, Bobby. Then Jim. I'm going somewhere still. Hang on. I'm going to put a cherry on yesterday. Keep going, Bobby.
Yeah, we don't need any more college trained pastors. Wow. We need tent meetings across this nation again.
We need house meetings. We need house meetings. That's what we need. Don't need to be part of some religious organization. Sorry. Sorry. Kingdom of God's within us. It's not a place we go. We are the church. We don't go to church. Come on, Jim.
Coach, could it be that in some of these larger churches, they're, number one, I know that they're watering down the Word of God. Number two, could there be sin in the camp?
Yes. Yes.
I just heard two large churches in the Chicagoland area where the pastors were removed from leadership.
I believe the greatest burden is a four-letter word. Fear. That's the greatest burden, Jim. It's fear. And you know, when you're in a war, we're in a football game, you're supposed to be afraid. Hey, you're supposed to be afraid. But you're not supposed to be controlled by fear. Come on in, Denny. Man, Denny got up this morning. Denny from Iowa. Thanks, Denny.
Messed up my heart. I've been up since 6.
Messed up your schedule.
You have. But I want to retract a little bit on when you're going back to the huddle, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I don't want to take you off your thoughts. But the key thing of doing all this stuff is, and it's really the two scriptures that Jesus says we do, and you've preached on it so many times, you did even while he's here. If you don't love the Lord with your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, but if you do, you want to do whatever it takes. If it means feeding them, taking them, every spare moment of time we have should be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that becomes a passion within your heart, it's not a chore, and it's not even work. It's joy. It really is. And seeing souls changed right before your eyes is just, there's nothing like it. It's better Amen. Than Christmas, I guarantee it.
Amen. Hey, listen. So, Denny, when people, Pastor, when you get to the point where you see your people as a burden, you better check your heart, bud.
Exactly.
You better check your heart.
Yep.
Because you're the one who went in. By the way, again, thanks, Denny. Fivefold ministry. I always use it this way. I'm going somewhere. Let's get up while I'm talking. Get up the thief, if you can, Spencer. Fivefold ministry. I always did it this. The apostle is a thumb. And the apostle is a thumb because he can control every one of the other fingers. You can put the thumb on every one of the other fingers. So you have the apostle. By the way, just curious. Who determined that the pastor was supposed to be the head of the church? Can anybody tell me where that is? Because you have the apostle. You have the prophet. The prophet is the thus saith the Lord boy. Thus say, that's the prophet. Thumb, finger pointer, standalone evangelist. God's always getting everybody the finger. That's the evangelist. So you got the thumb, the apostle. You've got the pointing finger, the prophet. You've got the standalone evangelist. And then the Bible says you have the pastor teacher. It's the same office. Pastor teacher. Look at it. Is anybody, where is that? Where is that, Dale? Where the fivefold ministry? Where is that? Does anybody know?
Ephesians 4.
I'm sorry?
That's all right. Ephesians.
Ephesians.
But listen, Coach, let me bring a revelation because you're absolutely right. The apostles, that is the church planner. You have the evangelists, the prophets, obviously the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor. That's the ring finger. Our job as a pastor is to keep people married to Christ, not the world.
Amen, brother. Dale, you stole my thunder because that's where I was heading. But see, the pastor is the wedding finger, pastor, teacher. If you will look at that scripture, if we could find out where it is, it tells you that. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers. It's the same office. Pastor, teacher is the same office. And I'm going to tell you something. Our system is all upside down because the pastor is the thumb. Somebody say amen, because that was the mic drop. There was the mic drop of the day.
Boom. Amen.
The pastors become the thumb. There it is. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. It doesn't say and some pastors and some teachers. No, no. Pastors and teachers. It's the same office. I think.
Amen.
Right? Pastor's a teacher. But we made him the thumb. Hey, can we have a community outreach here today? Go ask the pastor. Thump. Nope. Thump. Nope. Right? Hey, pastor, can we have a men's Bible study? Boom. Nope. It's not his office, not his job.
Well, Coach, I don't mean to cut your thunder on this, but when you go on with that passage of scripture in Ephesians, it says these fivefold ministries are for the purpose of equipping the saints to do the works of the ministry. Mm. And so when the pastor does what you just pointed out, we limit the role and the work of the ministry.
That's right.
That's what I tell my congregation, not that they pay me. I say, you pay me to get you to do the work.
Good point. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Pastor, your job's not to hold people back. Your job's to train them and coach them and encourage them. And dare I say it, send them. And by the way, sometimes go with them.
Amen.
Oh, man. Okay, so here comes the hammer. Wait a minute, let me get some of you guys in there, then I'll hammer it at the end. Let's see. Silver, haven't heard from you. Silver and then Roger. Go ahead, Silver.
Good morning, everyone. Pastors have to answer to a board of directors. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, within their own church and within their own structure of their mega church, whatever that may be, like Assemblies of God or that kind of thing, or the Cardinals within the Catholic Church and all that kind of crap, okay? The pastor is the most strung out guy, and he can't really be the pastor.
He's outside his job description, Joe.
Absolutely.
Can't do what he's designed to do. We don't get it. We got it wrong. No wonder it isn't working. Come on in, Raj.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, everybody can be starting a huddle. Everybody. It's called a relationship with Christ. That huddle looks like quiet time, scripture reading, talking to. From that little huddle, you can build other things. But we all can have a huddle with our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But you got to spread it.
Well, that's what I mean. The foundation is always your relationship with Him.
Amen.
Because He will guide you out as He wants you to get into doing different things in different places. But if you don't have a relationship with Him and you're doing it under your own strength, I don't think it'll be successful. So the huddle begins with you and Him. You worshiping Him, being obedient to His word, and you can have your own little huddle to start with, then it grows. Naomi and Tim's huddle, 6 people came. It was a small endeavor, but it will grow larger as He watches over and blesses it.
It was more than they had the week before.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest, the vast majority of us are not in His word daily, are not talking to Him daily, are not developing the foundation of any huddle is the relationship with your Savior.
Mm-hmm. So when Cool Hand Luke said, I'm going to try to get that scene for tomorrow. When Cool Hand Luke said, stop feeding off me. Probably is what a pastor feels, isn't it? And see, you ain't supposed to feed off your pastor. You're supposed to have your own relationship, your own walk. You're supposed to be, as I hear all the time, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, then do something other than play patty cake. Twiddle your thumbs. Oh, man, I got to finish up. I still got, let me get a couple more of you. Come on in, Jeff, and then Rochelle. I haven't heard from Rochelle this morning. Go ahead, Jeff.
Alakasia, the basis. I'm going to express it. The pastors do not have the training to bring on the job training.
Well, but it's because they don't understand their job description. Their job description is they're supposed to be the head of the church, and they're not. Sorry. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning. I'm just going to elaborate there on what Jeff just said. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of the picture of the armor of God, and our pastors don't have on the right armor. They weren't trained on the right armor. They don't have the belt of truth. They've got like the belt of compromise or something, and they don't have the breastplate of righteousness. They've got the breastplate of tolerance, and they're mm-hmm. not telling their people to have their feet for readiness. They've got you know the feet of inactivity. So it's obvious that they have not been trained, and it's obvious that they are not. I'm speaking in general terms, but I've had a lot of bad experience with the churches, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't want to hear from people. They don't want to be bothered. And it's a discouraging to people who are trying to do it, or it's just a social club and nobody really gets they're still drinking milk when I'm ready for meat.
Yeah. So Rochelle, I'll have people that I go to an event, I go to huddle, go whatever. And people come up to me and they'll ask me a question about something that's going on. You know what I say to them, Rochelle?
What's that?
I just work here. In other words, I don't know. I just work here. I'm just part of the team. Oh, you want to know where to get a hamburger? Go talk to Gary. You want to know where to get some fuel? Go talk to Larry, right? Delegate, delegate, delegate. I just work here.
That would be wonderful. Wonderful. Right? Delegations would be wonderful. It's almost like they squash your potential. They squash your gifts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Listen, I'm not shirking any responsibility because somebody has to be the leader, okay? So I'm the leader. But I just work here. I just work here, all right? If this thing's operating properly, there will be things that are happening I don't need to know about. I don't have to give approval to. I just work here. But I'm trying to play my role to equip you to do the work that God's called you to do. You don't need my approval. Most churches you do. Most churches. Oh, man, I want to finish. I got a couple want to go. Okay, Jeff, come on. Get in here real quick. In and out real quick, Jeff. I got something I got to finish with.
All right, real quick. That's one of the good thing about having Pastor Bill as my pastor. He just delegates stuff. He lets people do what they want to do. I say we're throwing up a tent in the front yard. We're going. There's a UCC church doing the gay Halloween, inviting kids in. We're going to the square with the war wagon. If he can't make it, he calls at that moment and says, I'll pray over you. Or he says, I'll be there. Now what he's doing now, we're going to
do mean you mean he's not worried about what the community thinks about him?
No.
Not worried about that? No. Oh, no. He's got backwards.
This Thursday, he's going to hopefully get some more people to delegate out. Thursday nights now, we're going to do, he just told us Sunday, he's going to be teaching out of the book of Acts, first century Christian church, how to deal with this socialism and Marxism, and he's going to hammer this, so hopefully some more people step up to the mantle and ready to go lead without him having to be the leader.
That's the way it's supposed to work. I'm cutting you off. I gotta hit you with this before I'm done because I didn't get to go to the thief, pull it up here yesterday. Because those of you who've been listening to our show here, been part of the huddle for a while, I've done this over and over and over and over. But I feel, you know, we get people joining us every day, and I have got to squash this bug. I've got to squash this bug. Because I hear it all the time. Hey, look here, man. Ah, look what shows up here. Let me hammer it here, Davey. Let me finish it up. Thanks for praying for Davey. All right. Thanks for praying for it. Hey, Reese, you're sitting on my cord here, man, Dave. Hang on a minute. Hang on. So let me get on. Good to see him. Now listen, people say to me, wow, that devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Oh, that devil, he's killing and stealing and destroying. That devil is. I said, that sure sounds good, but that's not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
They said, what? Yeah, that ain't what the Bible teaches. We know that the devil came to kill and to steal and to destroy, but you ain't going to find anywhere in the Bible where it says that. You won't find it. He said, oh, yes, you will, John 10. Really? Let me finish up here. You stay. I'm good having you guys, Queen of Sky High. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. We have a thief identified in the very first verse. Who's the thief? Some guy doesn't come in the front door, but comes in the window. That guy's a thief. All right? Hang on. This ain't the devil. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The guy comes in the front door. He's the shepherd. So we know now, we know who the thief is, and we know who the shepherd is. The thief is somebody that sneaks in the window some other way. Right? And it says the guy comes in the door, to him the porter opens the door. Holy Spirit opens the door, says, come on in, come on in. The sheep hears his voice, call him by name, and he leads them out. He doesn't lead them where? We're trying to get people to come in. You know, our pastors are trying to get people to come in. He said, no, he's leading them out. Because when you lead them out, others come in. You lead them out, they come in. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then Jesus looked around and said, wow, they didn't get it. He said, this parable he spoke, and they didn't get it. So he said, let me think of, let me try something else here. He said, I'm the door, Holy Spirit. And by me, if you come in through me, you're going to be saved. And you can go in, you can go out, and you'll have liberty and freedom. It'll all be good. But the thief, huh? The devil? No, the thief. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many times have you heard people say that and say that's the devil? How many times have you heard? Raise your hand. Raise your hand.
Amen, coach.
The thief doesn't do that. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come, you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. Starts talking about a shepherd. He says, because I'm a good shepherd. I'm not a bad shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his people. But that dude standing in the pulpit, he's a hireling. And then what it says? Am I putting any words into this thing? He said, that dude standing up in front of you, he's just a hireling. He ain't a shepherd.
Amen, coach.
Whose own the sheep are not. No, you're not a sheep. And what does he see? Why, my goodness, Reese, he sees the wolf coming. What? The thief sees the wolf? Well, who's the wolf? Why, I think that wolf was the devil. Huh? Yeah, he's a hireling and not the shepherd whose own sheep are not, sees a wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches them. Folks, who's cometh to kill and to steal and to destroy? That guy who's standing in the pulpit, who's a man pleaser and is only in it for the job benefits. Somebody Boom. Say amen.
Boom.
It ain't the devil, baby. It ain't Amen. The devil. It Amen. Ain't the devil. It ain't the devil that's come to kill and to steal and destroy. Well, it is because he's the father, right? He's the father of them. And so what we have is men, not all of them, men who are standing in our pulpit who are just doing it for the benefits. They get to be called pastor. They get the important seats at the table. They get to stand up and speak. All those people listen to them and give them respect. And as soon as that wolf shows up, they are out the door. I had to make sure I got this in.
Amen, coach.
Because that's why we're, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know some good shepherds. I'm not going to name them because I forget some others. I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot more hirelings. I know a lot more hirelings. Hey, Brett, the Bible says they're thieves. They're thieves. What? Who came to kill and destroy? Who came? Go back up there to 10. Who came to kill and to steal and to destroy? Go ahead. Huh? Thief.
And what do promise keepers do when they identify thieves?
Oh, my goodness, huh? Oh, my goodness. Let's go back to verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that climbs up into the pulpit and isn't called to be up into that pulpit He is a thief and a robber. It ain't the devil. It ain't the devil, boys and girls. It ain't the devil. You got no business being in the pulpit if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you aren't burning inside for the righteous things of God, you got no business stepping up in there, baby. That's what happened to us.
Amen.
Because what's going on? We see these hirelings standing in the pulpit, and they see the wolf coming. And what do they do? Michelle, what do they do?
They run.
They book it out of there, baby. They book it out of there. And so we got this devil ravaging our nation, and our shepherds, our fake shepherds, they're fleeing. Wow. Not me. I'm enduring to the end. God, it's great to be in here with you guys this morning, encouraging me. I got to run. I got to take my rental car back. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.